Has it ever been this hard to have a conversation? Engaging in discussions about divisive topics is becoming increasingly difficult in our polarized world. It seems we live in a time when intellectual discourse has taken a back seat, and the culture of outrage means that public shaming has become an unfortunate norm.
The fear that we are losing the ability to speak productively through and beyond political and cultural differences transcends cultures and borders. The need to be more civil is now a global conversation topic. For educators, it has never been more essential to be intentional about teaching the skills needed to use one's voice when the attacks become personal and the disagreements become fierce. It has become vital to teach civility.
I'm Megan Murphy, Global Executive Director with the International Coalition of Girls' Schools, and this is On Educating Girls Shorts, an audio offering from the Coalition that complements our full podcast and provides practical tips and advice in a short, easily digestible format. In this episode, we turn to some insights from previous podcast episodes, events, and webinars to talk about helping girls develop the skills to speak out and speak up while listening with respect, even when they disagree. You've just heard from Trudy Hall, host of our podcast on educating girls, in the episode entitled Girls Who Speak Up. We'll return to that discussion later as she and our guests grapple with the challenges of creating safe spaces for practicing civil discourse and constructive dialogue, and making sure that we prioritize this work in the classroom and also at home. My remarks in the opening address for the 2024 ICGS conference illustrate why this skill is so important at this moment in time.
According to Time magazine, more than 64 countries across the globe, representing nearly half of the world's population, have national elections planned in 2024. So this means more people than at any time in history will be casting their vote to make what's important to them known. And we know how important that is at girls' schools, of the necessity of having voices sought out, heard, and valued. This is absolutely essential for girls and women. Melinda French Gates said, quote, "Decades of research on economics, on well-being, and governance makes it clear that investing in girls and women benefits everyone." She goes on to say, "We know that economies with women's full participation have room to grow, that women's political participation is associated with decreased corruption, and that peace agreements are more durable when women are involved in writing them," unquote. In fact, our own ICGS research supports these assertions. Our research tells us that when compared to co-educated peers, girls' school graduates are more likely to be politically informed and politically involved, that they are action-oriented contributors to our societies. They volunteer, they're passionate about environmental causes in particular, and that they're more attuned and more appreciative of the intersectional identities, similarities, and differences that make all of us whole. So here's my question to you. What do we really need for a more just and equitable world? We need more girls and women, like our students and like our graduates, to bring their curiosities, their discoveries, their perspectives, their strength, their resilience, and their intelligence to bear. We need for them to have the tools, the resources, the education, and the encouragement that will enable them to bring their fullness to their own potential. When that happens, we are all better for it. And that's why girls' schools are so important and so relevant, particularly at this precise moment in time.
Before we go further, it will be important and helpful, I think, to make sure that we're clear on the definition of civil discourse. According to the League of Women Voters, civil discourse is courteous, constructive communication. It's characterized by mutual respect, openness, and attentive listening. This means showing a willingness to listen respectfully to someone else's opinion, even someone who might not share your views. To do this with an open mind and with curiosity, and that's the key, to understand their experiences, their ideas, their values, and also with the expectation that they will also do the same for us. Importantly, it includes the ability to disagree without being disrespectful, so that we have a deeper understanding of the values we share, so that we can find some common ground. Admittedly, these are skills many adults don't have, and yet these skills can be taught and they can be learned. And this is the work that's being done so well at girls' schools. Because for girls, it might be even trickier terrain to confront the societal norms associated with not being called difficult or disagreeable. Doing this takes courage, and it also demands vulnerability. It needs practice, and girls' schools are experts at this. Let's hear from Joe Shirock, head of Putney High School, which is part of the Girls' Day School Trust. The Girls' Day School Trust, or GDST, is the leading family of girls' schools in the UK. Founded in 1872 by four pioneering women who believe that girls should have the same academic quality of education as their brothers. For more than a century and a half, GDST has been ensuring girls learn without limits.
I think we know all too well how often girls will nurse a thought or a feeling and sit in a room where they may be the most intelligent, the most experienced, have something of real value to say. And it's almost as if their voice is captive, actually probably captive to their own self-doubt. How will this land? What will people think of me? Will they think I'm this, that, the other? And it really comes back to trying to help girls escape from some of these stereotypes around being polite and pleasant.
This is where teachers can step in and where the kind of environment around young people plays a formative role. Learning to speak up starts when children are young, when the stakes are just a little bit lower. Allison Sefton, head of Norwich High School, also part of GDST, shows how the seeds for civil discourse can be planted early on.
Just because somebody has a different view, that doesn't mean that you can't be friends. And I think that's an important thing in the context of girls' schools. And we do a lot of work around that, about how to manage those friendship issues within your own peer group, particularly when there are some fundamental issues that you're disagreeing on. So, you know, the importance of starting local, starting small, whatever that disagreement is. It might be in terms of who went to a party at the weekend. We're not necessarily talking massive social and societal issues, but if you start with the small things, then it makes it easier to tackle the bigger things if you treat everything in an understanding way of how to disagree gracefully.
If you know, love, and believe in empowering girls, please tune into The Connected Girl, a mini-series released in 2024 by ICGS that has reached many thousands of listeners worldwide, to understand the power and possibility of the many connections in the lives of girls. Next, we're going to hear from Dr. Ann Moses, founder and president of Ignite, a nonpartisan organization in the U.S. dedicated to helping young women develop and use their political voice.
The great thing about young women and young people, but young women in particular, is that they are more inclined to listen to each other than we are as older adults. They're less calcified in their views. They understand that they're getting at home one side of the picture, whatever that side is, from their parents, from what's on television or on the computer, from what they're hearing in church. They understand that they're getting one side, and they know that it's just one side, and they may agree with it or disagree with it, but they are open to hearing what the other sides are.
Curiosity is the key here. As long as you're able to hold multiple viewpoints in your mind and are able to keep it open, listening is never losing, even if it's uncomfortable. Here is Joe Chirac again.
I think there is a sort of current misunderstanding, not just in young people, but I think a lot of adults share it as well, that if we listen to people, we are somehow agreeing with them, or even worse, colluding with them. So one of the biggest barriers is, you know, let's say somebody who is peddling hate speech. It is very difficult to have that person at the table. And as we become more sure of ourselves and more sure of what is right and what is wrong, listening then to somebody who we have already decided is wrong becomes an incredibly difficult thing to do. So I think trying to teach young people that listening is not agreeing or colluding. It is really, really important. And I don't think it's something you can teach just once. I think you have to keep coming back again and again to it.
Despite what some public figures might show, it is powerful to listen, learn more, and sometimes say a little less. Cancel culture doesn't give people the space to learn and grow. They're shut down and sometimes shamed, oftentimes for things they said or did many years previously. Young people need space and support to feel safe enough to be flexible, not brittle, and easily broken.
What I want to pick up on is that remembering that we are talking about children and young people, and civil discourse is challenging, and young people will get this wrong at some point. And it can get quite messy when it goes wrong. And I think we have to be careful not to judge our young people with the way that we expect mature adults to live and breathe and learn and work through a problem. We're still there to scaffold them with these debates and their learnings. And I think sometimes we can assume or society can assume that a young person will have fully formed views and right from wrong is fully understood, and, you know, when things go wrong, they can deal with it. And that's not always the case.
That was Allison Sefton with another gem from our podcast on educating girls in the episode Girls Who Speak Up. If you are listening to this, you will agree that it's vitally important that we work together to inspire the next generation to lead with courage, with competence, and also with empathy. Our community of girls schools is focused on this each and every day, and empowering girls to use their voices to shape their world. Let's listen to them.
So my biggest tip to parents is listen. Even if it's really uncomfortable, even if it frightens you, what your young person is coming out with, listen to them. Really listen to them, and then ask them in return for that same deep, wide listening.
Together, we can help build a more equitable and peaceful society by supporting civil discourse, cultivating respect for difference, and promoting independent thinking. If our girls can understand others' perspectives while still being able to express their own with confidence, they will build a better world for us all. Thank you so much for tuning into our short series where we round up the best nuggets from previous guests on the podcast on Educating Girls, produced by the International Coalition of Girls Schools. If you like this, you'll love the full episodes of the podcast where listeners are offered resources, language, tips, and programs for educating and empowering young women by those who educate, work with, and understand girls best. If you're a regular listener, please help others to see this content by sharing this content, leaving a comment, or a 5-star review. For more information on the International Coalition of Girls' Schools, please visit us at girlschools.org.